From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Tice lengthening his stride, trying to get to this long shot old time revival, and he collars him at the 16th pole. It will be Entice, sharp in victory, and wrapped up by Junior Alvarado as they stroll home in the Gotham.
Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under Alvarado Ortiz Jr.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
But it's a game of name the margin. This Mendelssohn is going to absolutely demolish them, and this thing's going to go to Kentucky and win by nearly 50 metres, I reckon.
Audible let loose on the outside to take the lead from Mississippi, who's back to second. Hoffberg straightens up and tries to finish up with less than an eighth of a mile to go. It's the Holy Bull winner, Audible, who's clear. Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
21 days, 10 hours, 32 minutes, and 44 seconds until the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs, edging ever closer. Welcome to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, getting set for yet another busy weekend here on the Derby Trail. And this is the final Derby prep weekend that we're going to have here in 2018. You have the Arkansas Derby at Oaklawn later today, which is a big one. 100 points to the winner, 40 points to second, and 20 for third. So a lot on the line in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And then here in Lexington, right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, you have the Lexington Stakes, which could conceivably, very easily, produce a Derby contender, because you're going to see the winner of that race awarded 20 points for the victory. So a lot of things still to be determined. We know most of the 20 horses that will compete on the first Saturday in May, or at least qualify to compete. And today's going to determine a few more, and we'll have the puzzle kind of mostly put together after this afternoon's races. Happy to have everyone with us on Sirius 219, XM Channel 201, and of course on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. The pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, is out of town this weekend, so I had the privilege of being joined in our studio by Mark Otto, who is with Red Brand Fence. Of course, this show, all presented by Red Brand here in the month of April. And Mark, good morning. Happy to have you on board as we continue down the Derby Trail.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you with me. What do you think? 21 days. Hard to believe that
it is kind of amazing. It does feel like it just feels like the Derby Trail has just been like 3 weeks long. Yeah, it feels like this is the fastest one I've ever gone through.
And a lot of really, really good horses out there. I think this three-year-old crop, when you look at horses like Good Magic, who won the Bluegrass last weekend, you look at Justify, who proved that
that's
he's the real deal.
Yeah,
incredible. And then Audible, Noble Indy. This is a really, really solid three-year-old crop.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think it's an amazing crowd. I think it changes every week, which really makes it an interesting trail. And I think you could even see some surprises today.
How about Todd Pletcher? How good is trainer Todd Pletcher? He already has three horses among the top five in the Derby standings. He has Audible, Noble Indy, Vino Rosso. Today, Todd is going to look to add to his record number of wins in the Arkansas Derby with Magnum Moon. He also has Pony Up going in the Lexington Stakes. And oh, by the way, he's won that race more than any trainer in history, five times. So Todd Pletcher, this is just kind of his world right now, and everybody's just living in it.
Yeah, and it seems like that's very common. I mean, he's the consummate professional. He always comes equipped. He has, you know, an excellent string, excellent organization. You can just see the professionalism in his entire group.
Somebody else that's pretty good is Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. And I know you're kind of
partial
to Bob.
We're a little partial to Bob. You know, Bob's kind of, you know, he's like family to us at old friends. I mean, you know, you can never... I might be a little partial, but you can never rule out Bob.
Yeah,
especially when you're talking about Arkansas or anything. You know, he has that tendency to show up and surprise everybody.
Yeah, people hear you mention the name Old Friends. Of course, here in Kentucky, they have a division in New York, the Bobby Frankel division. And you are on the board of Old Friends as well as representing Red Brand. So you wear a couple of different hats in the industry.
I do.
So when you talk about Old Friends, now people will know why.
Yeah, I mean, old friends. You know, I'm on the board of directors at Old Friends. I'm the treasurer there. I work really closely with Michael. I'm also with Red Brand. And then in addition to that, I also work with Haggard Equine. So I help them promote their pharmaceuticals and stuff. And they have a really, really good line of supplements, the Resolve It line. But, you know, Bob has been a really, really strong supporter of Old Friends, as have been Red Brand and Haggard. It's kind of amazing. As you well know, in this industry, people tend to wear multiple hats. There's a lot of things you're involved in, and it all works together very synergistically, and that couldn't be more true with what I do.
Yeah, and how about the season that Bob has had? He was really high on McKinsey. I mean, here's a horse that was just moving in the right direction, doing everything properly, comes up with a bit of an issue. He's now off the Derby trail and likely off the entire Triple Crown trail. I'm going to point for a race like the Haskell later this summer. And now he brings in Justify last week, who proves, yeah, okay, I'm the real deal when he wins the Santa Anita Derby. And today he comes back with Solomini, who has been pretty darn good in his own right, and he goes in the Arkansas Derby looking to solidify his case.
And both of these horses seem to be improving every time they go out, which is no surprise for Bob. I mean, this is another guy who's a consummate professional. And the thing about Bob that, and like I say, I might be a little biased, but Bob always, you know, there's always like a methodical path, and you could never see that more than with Justify.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, and if you go back and look at that race, every time you watch that race, it looks better. It's really interesting. You know, you hear a lot of comments early in the week like, oh, you know, it wasn't the greatest trip. And, you know, but I got to tell you, the more you look at it, and then when you consider what the actual goal was to just win, you had to get those points. It really looks better every time you see it. And then when you pair up Mike and him.
Yeah,
you know,
Mike Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Mike Smith. If you see Bob putting Mike Smith on a horse, you may as well go to the betting window. Yeah, I mean.
Mike Smith on any horse, you might as well go to the betting window because he is absolutely sensational. And and the nice thing about a guy like Mike Smith, and we're seeing it with guys like John Velasquez now too, is that they're at a point in their Hall of Fame careers where they can pick those select mounts, right? They don't have to ride the $10,000 claiming races anymore. They can pick those bigger mounts and the bigger races, and just focus on those horses. And they've earned the right to do that.
Absolutely. And I think even more so than that, it's interesting. You know, Gary Stevens is sponsored by us at Red Brand, and he rides for a lot of excellent people as well.
Yeah.
And he's another jockey that's on that level. He's, you know, Hall of Fame jockey, 3-time Kentucky Derby winner. The amazing thing when you talk to any of these guys, they will tell you that when they really started winning races and when they really started – you know, succeeding was when they started letting the horse tell them when it was time.
Yep.
And it's funny, you know, I've talked to Pat Day, you know, some of the older riders, Kruger, down to some of the guys that are still riding now. And that seems to be the one thing that's the common thread. If, you know, you can relax and get to a point where you read the horse and let the horse tell you when it's time, it's amazing how much of a difference that makes. Mm-hmm. And it really does. Those two things kind of come together. I have no question, you know, experience is a huge part of that. But it also, I think, as you said, you know, when you get to the point in your career where you can relax a little bit. And I know Bob Baffert's even said that. Bob said, you know, you look at Bob now and how relaxed he seems. You know, he seems to truly enjoy it. And, you know, I think you can really see the difference in these guys.
Yeah, and by the way, congratulations to Gary Stevens on that big win at Oaklawn yesterday in the Fantasy with Sassy Sienna. She will punch her ticket to the Kentucky Oaks. And, of course, the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby all going to be heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Make sure you head over to our website for a complete Kentucky Derby Week schedule. We will be there to bring you 15 hours, actually a little bit more than that, more than 15 hours of Derby Week coverage that begins on Tuesday, May 1st, with the first of three Derby countdown shows presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns. So make sure you head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out that schedule. All right, so here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours. It's going to be a very busy program. We will cover an awful lot of ground. We're going to be joined after our first commercial break by Keeneland announcer Kurt Becker, who will look back on last weekend's big performances that we saw, including Good Magic winning the Bluegrass and Monomoy Girl, who was ultra impressive yet again in taking the Ashland Stakes. He'll also talk to us about this afternoon's Lexington, and Coolmore Jenny Wiley. Yeah, a couple of really nice graded stakes on this Saturday program right here in Lexington, Kentucky. And by the way, our coverage of those races comes up this afternoon for you, 5:30 Eastern Time. Anthony Stabile, Mike B are going to have the coverage. It comes your way on Sirius XM 93. That's Sirius XM 93, 5:30 Eastern. And, of course, on our affiliates as well. So check that out, horseracingradio.net. Rodolphe Brise, who sends out Quip in this afternoon's Arkansas Derby. Quip has enough points to get into the Derby right now. He has 50, so he's currently in 14th. He looks like he's going to be okay, but no doubt Rodolphe wants a big effort from him in Hot Springs this afternoon. Rodolphe took the time to visit with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, on Express Bet Radio yesterday, so you're going to hear that interview coming up around 8:35 Eastern. Anthony also had a chance to sit down with NYRA President and CEO Chris Kay, and that interview is going to come your way, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Vinny Viola had a big weekend on Saturday, this past Saturday, winning the Wood Memorial and doing it with Vino Rosso. And Vinny going to be making a trip to Churchill for the second consecutive year. And last year that worked out pretty good for Vinny and his entire team and the entire partners involved with Always Dreaming. We'll see if Vinny can pull it off again this year. He has a good one. He and Mike Rapoli, the partners on Vino Rosso. And Vinny going to be joining us right around 9:25 Eastern Time this morning. And then we'll look back on last weekend's huge day at Santa Anita and a big win in the Santa Anita Oaks by Midnight Bisou as she heads to the Kentucky Oaks now. We're going to be joined toward the end of the show at 9:40 Eastern by our good friend, HRN colleague, and the man behind Bloom Racing, Jeff Bloom, who, of course, owns Midnight Bisou. So a lot of ground to cover here this morning, Mark Otto.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great show.
Did you? Midnight Bisou was awesome last weekend. She sat at the back of the pack. Here we go, our good friend Mike Smith. And he said afterwards, I don't want to compare her to Zenyatta, but it was a Zenyatta-like ride where she was far back and then just inhaled them when he said go.
I know. It is amazing. And it's fun to watch these guys, you know, the guys that really know how to time it, you know, when they have the right horse, the right rider. It's a lot of fun.
All right, poll question for this morning. You can vote on our Twitter feed, at HRRN, and we're going to keep it pretty simple. Going to focus on the Arkansas Derby for you this morning, and we just want to know, who is your pick to win the Arkansas Derby? And we're going to give you a few different choices. We'll give you Magnum Moon for Todd Pletcher. We'll give you Solo Meanie for Bob Baffert, Quip from the barn of Rodolphe Brise, or anybody else. And if you choose other, that anybody else category, then you have to let us know who you think is going to win and pull off the upset, because it would be an upset if one of those three do not win, and we'll go ahead and pass those results along as we move throughout the show. So who's going to win the Arkansas Derby later today? Vote right now at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll get to our first break. We'll come back and visit with Kurt Becker from Keeneland. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Presented by Red Brand, manufacturer of Keepsake V-Mesh and non-climb horse fence, trusted by farms and veterinarians worldwide.
Tom's Ready, a multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by Sire of Sires More Than Ready. As a three-year-old, Tom's Ready scored in the prestigious Grade 2 Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont and defeated champion Run Happy in the Grade 3 ACAC at Churchill Downs before winning the Grade 3 Bold Ruler at 4, earning a 107 buyer, the co-fastest buyer at 7 furlongs in 2017. Tom's Ready, new for 2018 at Spendthrift Farm.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Here's Good Magic right alongside of Flame Away to the top of the stretch. Sporting Chances third. Free Drop Billy fourth is still five lengths away. And Good Magic has taken the lead from Flame Away coming toward the final furlong. Gap of three. Sporting Chance in third. Free Drop Billy fighting on but fourth. Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got but second. Sporting Chance third. Free Drop Billy in fourth. Blended Citizen fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass to win it for Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz in 1 minute 36 and 4/5 seconds for the mile, 150 and 18 hundredths for the 9 furlongs.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna and special guest co-host Mark Otto of Red Brand. We are with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. And that was Kurt Becker with the call of the Bluegrass last weekend, the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes right here at Keeneland. Good Magic, the champion juvenile from a year ago, back in the winner's circle and doing it in impressive fashion. He will look to become the first Bluegrass winner to wear the roses at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May since Strike the Gold in 1991, and the first horse to come out of the Bluegrass and win the Kentucky Derby since Street Sense pulled off the feat in 2007. And to help us look back on what was a tremendous weekend of racing, albeit a bit chilly here in the Bluegrass, is our good friend Kurt Becker, the man you just heard with the call. Kurt, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Hey, Mike, good to be with you guys this morning.
Yeah, look, Good Magic could not have been more impressive last weekend, at least through my eyes. I'm curious, as the man who was looking through the binoculars and had that outstanding call, your thoughts on that performance by Good Magic.
Yeah, I thought he did exactly what he needed to do. I thought he needed to come in and demonstrate that, yes, his two-year-old form does carry over to this year, that he was capable of winning that race. And I thought it was important that he win without having to overextend himself. And I think that's what he did. You know, gotta say Flame Away, who fought so hard in that race. I love Flame Away. He's a horse that always gives everything he's got. And it was good because he gave Good Magic just enough of a battle that I think Good Magic got the kind of tune-up he needed for the Derby.
Yeah, it seemed like after that return effort in Florida, a lot of people got off the Good Magic bandwagon. And, you know, Chad Brown said, okay, let's not panic. He was a bit short. He needed the race. He'll run better next time. And obviously, Chad was 100% spot on when you see what happened in Lexington last weekend.
Exactly. And I think Chad has known from day one that he's sitting on a good one. I mean, here's a colt, Good Magic, that was a seven-digit yearling And Chad brought him up to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in just the right form at the right time last fall. And I think he's on a similar schedule for the Derby. I like what Chad has done, and he's bringing this horse up to the biggest race of his life, I think, in top form.
Kurt, are you a little surprised that it's been since 1991 and Strike the Gold that a bluegrass winner has won the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, there's no getting around it. It's been a long dry spell, and even when you had mentioned, Mike, when we were coming out of the break, that you have to go back to 2007 to find a starter in the bluegrass that has come out of that race to win the Derby. That's a surprising statistic, and I think part of it can be attributed to the fact that for several years from 2007 up through 2014, we had eight consecutive editions that were run on the synthetic surface, the poly track, because, you know, during that stretch of time, it was difficult sometimes to get horsemen to come and run in the bluegrass, because their perspective was, look, you know, the Triple Crown series is all on dirt. Why would I run my last prep on a synthetic surface? So I get that. But even with that accounted for, it's long overdue. I mean, the bluegrass is a race that has such a rich tradition of producing a lot of Derby winners, but admittedly, not so many here in the last, 20 to 25 years.
Kurt Becker with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He is the man who you will hear calling the races at Keeneland. He's been doing it for a very, very long time. As a matter of fact, the only announcer in the history of that prestigious racetrack, and we'll talk to him about that in just a minute. Kurt, before we segue into what's happening this afternoon, how about some thoughts on what we saw from Monomoy Girl winning the Ashland, and now one of the favorites, if not the favorite, in the Kentucky Oaks on the first Friday in May?
She would be the one I would tab as the most impressive winner from opening weekend of the Keeneland Spring Meeting. She is just incredibly talented. I remember hearing about her last fall. Her co-breeder is a good friend of all of ours at HRRN, Michael Hernan. And Michael saw me in November at the sales, and he said, hey, there's a filly. I'm a little partial, but he said, there's a filly named Monomoy Girl that I think you're going to be hearing good things from. She ended up getting beat in that race last fall at Churchill Downs, but my understanding was that the jockey, Florent Giroux, said, I learned something about her that day. I thought she had to have the lead, and Florent said, I really don't think so. He said, I think in hindsight, this is a filly that I don't have to get her into a speed battle up front. So since then, she did show at the fairgrounds several weeks ago. She can come from off the pace. And then she went back, and against the field, she just stood out head and shoulders in the Ashland last weekend. So Florent just winged her right out of the gate and sent her back to the lead. And she just looked spectacular. And I think she's a very real threat to win the Oaks.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she steps up and runs a monster race beneath those twin spires. And, of course, we'll have all that coverage for you right here exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Oaks Derby taking you all the way through the 144th Run for the Roses in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. Kurt will be part of our broadcast team throughout the week, and really excited to get the chance to work with Mr. Becker throughout Derby week here on HRRN. Kurt, let's talk about what's coming up this afternoon at Keeneland. It's an outstanding program yet again, as you would expect on a Saturday afternoon during the spring meet. 11 races. You have the Grade 3 Stone Street Lexington, and then the Grade 1 Coolmore Jenny Wiley. Outstanding program.
It is, and then you'll throw in the Giant Causeway, a filly and mare turf sprint, and the Ben Ally at a mile and an eighth for the older horses. It should be a really fun afternoon. Regarding the Stone Street Lexington, that is a field of horses where you've got some fantastic connections in terms of owners and trainers, a lot of very well-bred horses, a lot of green horses, as we see in this particular race. I think that the Stone Street Lexington, my boy Jack, it's his race to win or lose. He seems to be the class of the field, the company he was keeping over the last couple of starts. He won the Southwest. He hit the board in the Louisiana Derby. The only concern I might have about my boy Jack is he comes with that big late race rally. And keep in mind, the Lexington is at a mile and a 16th, so he will not have the full length of the home stretch. It'll be the short stretch in that race. And as far as the Coolmore Jenny Wiley, you know, Chad Brown has, what, three fillies he's got entered in that race. But I'm a little leery about I'm not so sure that Chad's going to have this one locked up because it's a deep field. And La Coronel is in there for Mark Cassie. And La Coronel loves the Keeneland Turf Course. She's always run well on it. I don't think she's ever lost on it. She won the QE2 last fall. And La Coronel seems to be able to handle any kind of ground. So even if we end up getting some precipitation, there's a few clouds in the area, there could be some moisture later today. I don't think it's going to affect La Coronel. And there's not a lot of speed in that race. She could be the controlling speed as well.
Again, our coverage of the Lexington Stakes and the Jenny Wiley coming up this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern. A programming note for those of you listening on Sirius XM, that coverage going to come your way on Sirius XM 93, 5:30 Eastern time. Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer will have the coverage for you here on the network. One other sidebar note here, Kurt, and I'm sure you're aware of this. You mentioned the name Michael Hernan of Gainesway. He's going to be watching that Ben Ally Stakes intently because there's a horse by the name of Hollywood Handsome, runner-up in the Grade 2 New Orleans Handicap last out at the Fairgrounds, who is a four-year-old son of their stallion, Tapazar, the same sire as Monomoy Girl. So he'll be paying close attention to that one.
And, you know, Hollywood Handsome is a horse that has a legitimate shot in that race. In fact, there's seven entered for the Ben Ally. It's tough for me to toss any of them. That is a well-balanced, well-matched field. You know, and he mentioned Tapazar. This is a horse that is an intriguing young stallion because you mentioned Monomoy Girl. You mentioned this horse, Hollywood Handsome. Tapazar seems to be putting a shot of speed into his offspring that, frankly, can be kind of dazzling. I mean, Monomoy Girl is a great example of that. She's got that high cruising speed where she can go right to the front if she wants to and play the catch-me-if-you-can game. So, you know, if I'm Michael, if I'm the folks at Gainesway, I've got to feel pretty good about this young sire's potential down the road.
Visiting with Keeneland announcer Kurt Becker here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Kurt, so I mentioned earlier that you are the only announcer in the illustrious history of Keeneland. When somebody says that to you, and I know you've heard that multiple times, what immediately comes to mind?
The first thing that comes to mind is I never would have imagined ending up being the track announcer for a track of Keeneland's caliber. I mean, I'm a guy that started out in Illinois as a teenager calling county fair races, you know, for $800, $1,000 a dash and that kind of thing. So I think the first thing is I'm very fortunate. I'm also blessed by the fact that the folks in the Lexington area and the Kentucky community, they've been very kind to me. They've been welcoming. They've been receptive to me being there because it was awkward. You know, when you have a track that's gone for 60 years, the first 60 years of its existence, without a public address, and then they put one in, you never know for sure how the end of a 60-year tradition is going to be met. And on that front, I've generally taken the attitude, no news is good news. If I don't hear any feedback, I'm going to be pretty happy. But, you know, Mike, the other thing is just as a racing fan, to stand in the booth day after day during these race meets in the beauty of central Kentucky and be able to see the horses that come through this meet, it's an honor. It's a privilege. I'll tell you this. When the Breeders' Cup was here, I told management after the Breeders' Cup a few years ago, I said, look, if I ever complain to you about anything, give me a kick in the seat of the pants. They've had to remind me of that a time or two since then. It's a lot of fun. It really is.
Hey, Kurt, Mark Otto here. I just wanted to ask you, you know, speaking back to the Breeders' Cup, I mean, you guys did a phenomenal job. What would you say in your tenure there, what is the biggest memory that you have? I mean, I could guess, but, you know, what is probably the most spectacular moment, Keeneland announcing history, that you could think of?
That is a tough one to narrow down.
I'm sure.
Have been a lot that have been fun and memorable. I will always remember the first Breeders' Cup race that I got to call, just because of the fact that Hit It A Bomb was the winner, and I remember thinking it was kind of neat that the lady that owned Hit It A Bomb was John Magner's mother. Of course, John Magner being a cool boy along with his partners. And yeah. I just thought that was, you know, here's this man who is a towering figure in the sport. And there was something about it that hit me. I thought it was kind of neat to think, you know what, at the end of the day, Mr. Magner, and I say this in a lighthearted way, still answers to his mom, like we all do. And I thought that was neat because I didn't realize till that weekend that his mother owned racehorses. So I found that to be kind of a charming aspect of the first Breeders' Cup race held at Keeneland. With that said, it's hard to get around the fact that, you know, when American Pharoah comes, of all the years for Keeneland to have the Breeders' Cup, to have a Triple Crown winner who comes in and not only wins the Classic, but does so by just gliding around that racetrack like he's on air and goes out the way that horse went out that day. That's the kind of thing that I think as a race caller, you dream about having an opportunity like that sometime in your career, and that was just a tremendous honor to be involved with that whole weekend and with that race.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that was almost a magical moment, and it was almost poetic that it, you know, Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, Pharoah coming through. It was really an amazing day.
And who can forget Kurt's call? American Pharoah has belted a Grand Slam.
Yeah, it was just phenomenal.
Well, fellas, if I could tell you one quick one, the other memory that stands out in my mind that's a personal favorite, when Menifee won the Toyota Bluegrass back in '99, my mother, my grandmother, and my aunt were at the races. One of the few times I've actually had family in attendance. And they ended up betting Menifee that day. And I mean, they don't follow horse racing close enough to be skilled handicappers. So at the end of the day, okay, the late Pete Kulis, God rest his soul, one of the co-founders of HRRN, I introduced Pete to my grandmother, and she's telling him how she had bet Menifee. And he said, how in the world did you arrive? How did you pick Menifee? And she said, well, you know, I noticed Toyota was sponsoring that race, and I just knew that the jockey, Pat Day, I just knew he would want to impress these people that were here today from Toyota. He takes his program, throws it up in the air, and says, your system worked better than mine.
That's amazing.
Great story. He is Kurt Becker, track announcer at Keeneland, the only track announcer that Keeneland has ever known. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, Kurt's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Kurt, very quickly before we let you go, I had the chance yesterday. I was asked to do a Skype call with a class of first graders in Missouri because they were having a week where they were focusing on different aspects of horses, and they were focusing on horse racing yesterday afternoon. And so all of the students, all the kids, had a question that they were going to ask me, and they did it, as I said, over Skype. And one of the questions that was asked was, how do track announcers learn to talk so fast? So, Kurt, how do track announcers learn to talk so fast?
Ah, that's a very good question. And I will tell you what someone told me years ago. Actually, I learned this on the motorsport side from a colleague by the name of Alan Bestwick. And I remember Alan had commented that when it came to covering motorsports, in his words, just because the cars are going 200 miles an hour doesn't mean that you have to talk that fast. And really, it's kind of the same thing with calling a horse race. I've actually learned over the years that when you try to start delivering the call too fast, you get ahead of yourself, you get yourself backed into a corner, and then if you run into a spot where you lose your train of thought or you can't tell who that horse is on the outside making that move, it's going to become even more noticeable to the crowd when suddenly your rhythm and your cadence change and it drastically slows as you try to regain your composure. So,
or you mumble to the guy next to you, who's number nine?
Right, exactly. You know, look over your shoulder and hope there's a spotter nearby. But I would suggest that really the key is learning to pace yourself and slow your delivery and measure your words carefully.
Yeah, I just told the kids it was a lot of practice.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. Yeah.
I kept it a little more simple.
Yeah, you know, if our colleague Sean Clancy is listening to this segment, he'd be saying, Becker, land the plane.
As was I. All right, Kurt, we appreciate it, my friend. A lot of fun to catch up. All the best at Keeneland this afternoon, and really looking forward to having you as part of our broadcast team over at Churchill Downs as well.
Mike, Mark, I appreciate it. Good to catch up with you guys, and very much looking forward to Derby week, and we'll talk soon.
All right, all the best, the Kurt. We'll Kurt see you this Becker. Afternoon.
Yeah, he's all class and one of the outstanding announcers that we have in the sport. And I say this quite often. He's been working with us on the radio side for a long time. But you think about Kurt Becker and what he does to call races for 16, 17 days in the spring, not do it again until the fall for another 16 or 17 days, and then pick up the binoculars and to get behind that microphone and not miss a beat.
I know.
And coming off of those layoffs, like, unbelievable.
It is truly a gift. I mean, we've seen it with Durkin, with Larry. I mean, yep. It is amazing to watch these guys, and it is hard to understand how you could even do it.
Yeah, incredible. All right, we're going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky. If you are looking for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, go see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano. Go see Mike Hendricks. They are horse people. They'll talk to you about horse racing all day long, and eventually you'll get to test drive one of those new Lexus, and you will not be disappointed. It's the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. And, oh yeah, stop into the Keeneland shop, too. They have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back to hear from Rodolphe Brisé, who sends out Quip in the Arkansas Derby right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On September 27, 1947, over a distance of 1 1/4 miles out of the chute at the top of Belmont Park's backstretch, the long-awaited match race between Warren Wright's Armed and the King Ranch's Assault was about to unfold before an enormous throng on hand at the Grand Lady of Long Island as Belmont was off bemonikered. This was anticipated, expected, and billed to be, rightly so I might add, a classic confrontation of the turf. The two owners, Warren Wright and Robert Kleberg, agreed that the $100,000 prize to go to the eventual victor would be given to charity, and it was a non-betting race. At Belmont, there was a bell which lifted its melancholy clang over the walking ring just before the horses for each race were to be filed out for the post-parade, and just before this match race, it seemed to those in attendance to sound a sadder note than was usually the case. It was as a distant peal that may well have been of the self-same import of which Hemingway wrote, quote, "Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." A chill, brittle wind howled in from the northeast, bringing the starkness of the foreboding North Atlantic down across the 1,000 miles of ocean from the barren Arctic Circle. One of the horses responded to its sweep against his legs and through his mane and tail as he danced impatiently during the long parade to post, well, the start, in the remote corner of Belmont's backstretch. That self-same wind brought no solace to the other combatant, for he was to run this race on courage alone to fulfill a promise that had been made and was herein to be honored. He was not the same marvelous thoroughbred he had been during a brilliant career on the racetrack. He was somewhat lame and sore, each step bringing a twinge of pain. His heart and mind told him of the task at hand, but his body throbbed in protest. Armed, the great handicap champion older horse, and Assault, the 1946 Triple Crown winner, went to the starting gate. Somehow in the gate, Armed nicked himself on one quarter and left a scratch that scattered blood and a spray on his legs as he ran, but he broke in front as the starter sent them on their way. As the two champions loped down the long, long run to the far turn, it was Armed by four open lengths, with still half a mile to run. Assault, under the highly capable, renowned Hetty Eddie Arcaro, reached back for an attempt at one of those patented late charges, and through the next two furlongs he cut the gap to his rival to but a single length by the time they reached the quarter pole. As they straightened away for the final two-furlong run to the wire, it appeared to the roaring throng that Assault had put dead even with Armed. That was to be the last hurrah for the Clubfoot Comet, the great King Ranch standard-bearer. Assault had given it everything he had, but on this day, it was not enough. Arcaro, recognizing a lost cause, eased his mount up in the final 16th and armed Cruz home a winner by 8 open lengths in a final time of 2:02.4. Assault, the club-footed darling of the racing public, had been given it his all, but had for the last time faced a relentless challenge of the racetrack. After the race, while cooling out on the backstretch, his trainer Max Hirsch looked at the game champion and with a wistful look in his eyes said, quote, "There's never been another horse like him." An observer who had taken in that dramatic scene turned while leaving to glance back for one final look at Assault, who was standing with his big soft eyes blinking in the autumn twilight, and softly and fondly said, "So long, champ." It was indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Ed, get in here and shut the door.
What's up, boss?
What's up? You have to ask, Ed?
Yes, sir. Usually, sir.
Ed, you're naked as a jaybird.
Correctamundo, sir. Just as you ordered.
I what?
You told us Jimmy John's was going all natural, sir.
No, Ed. I told you our meats are now all natural.
Huh?
That's meats, Ed, not employees.
Oh, I get it now. It's our meats that are all natural.
Yes, Ed. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
How embarrassing.
No kidding. It's a good thing I got to you before your first delivery.
Yeah, well, I already spread the word, sir, and...
Naked?
Oh, no.
He's what? Naked?
Naked.
He's naked.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
A 5-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first 4 dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in 6 countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Graded Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
With a quarter of a mile to run, World of Trouble is trying to take him start to finish. Grip on the outside second. Up on the far outside, Flame Away swings wide for the drive as they straighten away for home. World of Trouble and Quip on the outside. They're locked in battle. Flame Away racing erratically down to the wire. World of Trouble along the rail and Quip on the outside. They're still heads apart. Quip is now going the better of the two. And Flame Away flying on late, getting up for second. World of Trouble, a tiring third in a game effort. Running time on the board, 144.72. and 19-1 on the winner.
That's Richard Grunder with the call of the Tampa Bay Derby. Quip getting the victory that afternoon. He's back in action later today in the Arkansas Derby. And you can go to our Twitter feed right now, at HRRN, and let us know who you think is going to win the Arkansas Derby later this afternoon. Is it Quip? Is it Magnum Moon, Solimini? Or is there somebody else you think can pull off the upset? We want to hear from you. Weigh in now. We'll pass along the results of that poll question later in the show. At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Well, Quip is trained by Rodolphe Brise. Rodolphe looking to compete in his very first Kentucky Derby in his first full year of training since going out on his own. It's a great story, and yesterday Rodolphe took the time to sit down with our Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio, and here's what he had to say.
Rodolphe Brise, the trainer of Quip. Rodolphe, thanks for some time today on the program.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Are we down in are we in Hot Springs?
Oh, yeah, we've been there for a week. So we shipped last Friday and we settled in Saturday morning, and we've been here for a week.
All right, so let's talk about that, Rodolphe, because originally Quip was supposed to return to Keeneland, where he won the allowance race last year to run in last week's Grade 2 Bluegrass. The weather was very questionable going into the weekend. Was that the main or only decision in rerouting to the Arkansas Derby?
Well, actually, the weather was none of them. We kind of start to look at the Arkansas Derby when Justify reroute to the Santa Anita Derby. Justify got the same ownership than Quip, and we felt like windows kind of open to try to win a Grade One. You know, they're pretty difficult to win, so even more difficult after the Triple Crown. So we thought with maybe a little shorter field and then an extra week, it could be a good spot to try to win a Grade One.
Yeah, of course, very important to get the Grade One win. So bypassing the Grade Two, Justify comes out, is the reason for the reroute. It took him a while off a good two-year-old campaign, Rodolphe, to get back to the races. Was this the plan to debut him so late in the season on the trail, or did you want to get him back to the races earlier?
No, we were having in mind mid-February, and then the horse come back to us around December 20, I think, and come back in great shape, but we were dealing with a pretty bad winter weather-wise in Fairground, so he got a little tough to get him on the schedule than what we want. So we lost a couple. I mean, we actually passed one breeze, and then we got couple things make us push it to that weekend March 10, and then but we were waiting for the horse to show us all the right sign too, you know. So that's how we land on that weekend, and we picked up that race in Tampa.
Well, it worked out because he was sensational in that Tampa Bay Derby. Did you expect as good an effort as he gave you that afternoon when you brought him over there to the racetrack at Tampa?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you run that kind of level, you try to run off with a chance to win. You don't really want to look at the paper and say, okay, I'm going to finish fourth. So you have in your mind, the horse deserves a shot in that spot. He showed us in the morning, and in his previous race, he got some quality and some class. So now he was, our job was to bring him fit enough to be able to perform his best. And, we got a good trip, and he really showed his ability, you know.
There doesn't appear to be a ton of speed in the Arkansas Derby. You would think one of the Asmussen horses, the number 3 Tenfold, will certainly be out there early, and maybe Machismo, who was running back off the week from the Bluegrass. the plan to just let Quip do what he does best and be on or close to the lead in the race?
Well, I mean, I think you just described pretty good what everybody saw on paper. I mean, we won't take him back, and we just I think we see how the break play, and then from there, Florent will adjust. Depends on what the inside is doing. You know, we feel like we have a pretty good draw, and we can have a good look at what's going on after the 8th of a mile. You know.
How is he trained? Have you noticed a difference in his training from before the Tampa Bay Derby? Is there any difference leading up to the Tampa Bay Derby than leading up to this race? Or has he been, after the hiccup earlier in the year, has he been on a steady schedule since?
No, he's been on a steady schedule. Everything went pretty smooth. No complaint about that. And he's a pretty cool horse to be around. You know, we got him a little bit all over the place the past couple months, and he's been handling everything very good. You know, so no, all light are green.
He has 50 Kentucky Derby points. That's going to be more than enough to get him into the starting gate in 3 weeks at Churchill Downs. Does that take some of the pressure off tomorrow, because you know that he doesn't have to win? He doesn't really need to have to run second. He's got his points. Does that take a little pressure off tomorrow, or does the fact that this race is a grade one still hold a lot of weight? And I mean, obviously you want to win every race you're running, but is there a little less pressure because you have the points?
Well, let's put it this way. I think right now we're not thinking about the Kentucky Derby. We know more than likely in already. So the goal is to win a grade one. So, I mean, I don't like to... We don't put our head ahead of ourselves too much, you know. I think we're going to take this one on Saturday and try our best to win that grade one, which it's a very, very important race. And then after Saturday, we can, you know, sit down and see how... You know, come up with a plan for the next 3 weeks, but like really right now it's to get focused on Saturday.
It looks like Quip will be the third choice in the wagering behind Solomini and Magnum Moon. Do you have anybody else in there? I know you're like most trainers, you're afraid of all of them when they go over there. Is there another horse, maybe an outside the box thinking horse you're keeping an eye on in the Arkansas Derby?
Well, I think Tenfold is very intriguing horse, you know. It's another case of a horse who ran for the first time this year. He's 2-4-2. I think his numbers are pretty solid. He's got 2 runs over the track. He won first time out going 2 turn. I think it's a very intriguing horse. He's got some tactical. I would say if someone out the box could show up, maybe him, you know.
All right. Well, best of luck on the Arkansas Derby. Rodolphe, hopefully we'll see you in 3 weeks in the Kentucky Derby.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time, guys.
It's Rodolphe Brise, the trainer of Quip, who was with our Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio yesterday afternoon. By the way, you can catch that show every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons. Sirius 219, XM 201, and that show airing from 3 to 6 Eastern time every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Rodolphe Brise, of course a native of France, spent about a decade as the top assistant for Hall of Famer Bill Mott, and went out on his own in early April of 2017, and here he is 1 year into his training career with a horse like Quip on the Derby trail. You heard him mention that he already has enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby. He's sitting there at 50 points right now, number 14 on the list. He'll be fine. He's going to get in. But Rodolphe really looking for that grade one victory this afternoon. And Mark, I thought one sidebar thing that was very interesting toward the end of that interview, Anthony asked Rodolphe if there was a horse outside of Magnum Moon and Solomini that maybe he has his eye on as being a potential upsetter today that he's really worried about. And he mentioned the name Tenfold. Before we went on the air, you and I were talking about the Arkansas Derby, and you mentioned that Tenfold was interesting to you in that race this afternoon.
Yeah, I think Tenfold's one that if there's a spoiler in this crowd, he's the one to watch. I could see him showing up and changing the day if there is one. I mean, there's several here. You know, there's a few things here. I mean, it's hard to rule out Steve. He's got Victor in the irons. It's a curling. I don't know. There's just something about that horse that if there was one that was going to show up, I think that's one that would.
Yeah, he'll be looking for another rider if Tenfold and Victor win this race, because Victor committing to ride Bolt Doro, who was second last week in the Santa Anita Derby. He'll ride Bolt Doro in the Kentucky Derby. Javier Castellano, who was on Bolt Doro, is now going to ride Audible for Todd Pletcher, and that means John Velasquez, who was aboard Audible the past couple of starts, is now going to be aboard Vino Rosso, the Wynn Memorial winner in the Kentucky Derby. So musical jockeys over the past couple of weeks, but that's to be expected when you have
pretty standard. Yeah, you see that a lot. And as a lot of people have said, it should, you know, we're going to have a lot clearer picture by tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Everything will be set after these final two Derby prep races this afternoon. We'll get to one final break here in the first hour. We'll come back. We'll get you set for a very busy second half of the show. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
The Kentucky Equine Humane Center heals horses of all ages and retrains them to be ready for adoption into a new life. Please support their work by coming out to the Crawfish Boil, presented by Chrysler of Lawrenceburg, held on April 17th at Park Equine in Versailles. You can buy a $35 ticket at kyehc.org. Kentucky Cajun Bob will get you 5 pounds of crawfish, but no tickets at the door, so get them ahead of time at kyehc.org. The horses thank you.
Power.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
One final try from Hollywood Handsome. These two to the wire. Hollywood Handsome got it.
Performance.
It is all Monomoy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Gainesway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, an emphatic winner of the Grade 1 Ashland at Keeneland, and among the favorites for this year's Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. And Hollywood Handsome, a strong runner-up in the Grade 2 New Orleans Handicap last out, and one of the favorites in the Grade 3 Ben Ally at Keeneland this afternoon. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio, joined by Mark Otto from Red Brand and old friends. And speaking of old friends, Mark, a couple of notes about some events that are coming up over the next month or two that folks can look forward to.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming up that's really neat, as usual, you know, when you get close to Derby. But the, probably the two high points are the homecoming, which is the day after Derby at the farm. And that is a huge event, generally 400 to 500 people, mostly industry people, but a lot of fans, a lot of people from all different walks attend this.
And that's here in Lexington.
That's here in Lexington, yep. Georgetown, at the Georgetown Farm.
Yep.
You can go to oldfriendsequine.org for information and tickets. The beauty of this is it really helps benefit old friends and the horses. Everything is underwritten by the sponsors, NTRA, Daily Racing Forum, Red Brand, Haggard Pharmacy. You know, these people make it possible so that old friends is able to do this without having to dip into their pocket to do it. So it's really fortunate that, you know, the partners put this together. There's information in Daily Racing Forum. The second thing that they have going is a night with Silver Charm and Touch Gold. So as you well know, the Derby Trail in 99 was Silver Charm and Touch Gold, and Silver Charm was really close to a Derby, a Triple Crown.
Very close.
With Gary Stevens aboard, and his previous rider, Chris McCarron, had taken Touch Gold. So Gary and Chris are actually good friends, for those that don't know, and they are both big supporters of old friends, and Gary rides for Red Brand. So we've all teamed up, and we're going to have a night with Silver Charm, sponsored by Red Brand, sponsored by Country Roy Brewery, and it'll benefit old friends. That's going to take place sometime early June between the Preakness and Belmont, and we're that date will be coming soon, but definitely watch for that. It'll be a lot of fun. That'll also be held at Old Friends at the farm, and again, proceeds to benefit the horses. So it's really amazing, because what a lot of people don't realize is Old Friends functions, you know, pretty much on, you know, some pensions. There's a lot of support from the industry, but a lot of it is their own fundraising. So these events that they have are really a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, almost like a social gathering for the industry, but it also is a huge support and helps these guys do what they do every day.
And you can get information at oldfriendsequine.org on all of those events coming up, and make sure you support them. They do a tremendous job. All right, we're going to get to the second half of the show, which begins with Chris Kay, president of NYRA. He sat down with Anthony yesterday. You'll hear that full interview. Vinny Viola going to join us at 9:25 Eastern, and our very own Jeff Bloom of Bloom Racing, looking back on the Santa Anita Oaks. We'll wrap it up right around 9:40. Stay with us. We're back with the second half of the show right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justified by 3/4 of a length. Bolt Door Road trying ever so hard, but Justify, another exhilarating exhibition by the supremely gifted athlete. He's on a dizzying ascent to greatness.
Oh, what a one this is! It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle him, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso Fantastico in the One Memorial.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got for second. Sporting Chance third. Free Drop Pillion fourth. Blended Citizen fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass.
Gunrunner needs another 16th. It's Gunrunner in front. He'll go out a winner. He's the horse of the year, and he's Gunrunner with an unforgettable performance in the Pegasus World Cup. He won by two.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Now just 21 days, 9 hours, 29 minutes, and 48 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. Yeah, edging ever closer to the first Saturday in May. It will be here before we know it. Of course, we'll be over there with all of that Derby Week coverage. More than 15 hours of Derby Week coverage kicking off on Tuesday, May 1st. And you'll want to join us all week long to get you ready for that Run for the Roses and all the way through the 144th Kentucky Derby in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. You'll hear that coverage worldwide right here on HRRN. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, and Mark Otto sitting in for the Pontiff of the Pick Four. Mark, of course, with Red Brand Fence and with old friends Equine and...
Haggard.
That's the other one. I knew there was three. The trifecta.
The trifecta, and it really is.
A trifecta of hats, and we're having a lot of fun on the show this morning. Had a chance to visit with Keeneland announcer Kurt Becker in the first half of the show. And you heard from Rodolphe Brisset, the trainer of Arkansas Derby contender Quip. If you missed any portion of the show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. Yesterday, Anthony had the chance to sit down and talk with NYRA president and CEO Chris Kay. That interview coming up momentarily, right after we remind you that you'll want to join Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer at 5:30 Eastern Time this afternoon for coverage of the Lexington Stakes and the Jenny Wiley, all from Keeneland. That coverage coming up 5:30 Eastern, Sirius XM 93 on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All right, well, Chris Kay doing a fantastic job at NYRA, and he took the time to sit down and visit with Anthony yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Chris, welcome to the program. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks for letting us use the digs here at Long Shots and Aqueduct. I remember as a kid when this was the old Man of War Room. In fact, right where we were sitting, I gravitated to this spot. There used to be the best roast beef and turkey sandwich right where we were sitting here. My friend Jimmy was the chef and the cook back then. He used to slice it up right here. The best racetrack sandwiches around right here.
You got to love it. Now, you got to also love this new facility. Long Shots has got to be the best place anywhere in the New York City area for sure to come and really enjoy races from all across the country. As you know, we've got, in effect, three different rooms, so depending upon your level of exclusivity, you can have something just the way you want it. And we must have, I don't know, about 64 different television screens.
I stopped counting at 73.
73, okay.
Yeah, I stopped counting at 73 because I couldn't see any further down the room. And then you have the chairs, the carrels,
right,
that have their own TVs as well. So there's got to be over 150 TVs in here. And like you said, sports bar, so it's more than racing. I know that during the afternoon I have my Mets games on when there's a Wednesday game or a rare Thursday game. You're probably flipping around for your Cardinals whenever you can.
Exactly. And then in the fall, we've got about 12 different college football games, not to mention every track in the country. It's a fantastic place. And as you noted, there is a bar.
There sure is. Yes, Alicia and Janitza have become two of my closest friends here at the Big A. Big weekend last weekend. Great renewal of the Wood Memorial, a little local flavor. Vinny Viola, Mike Rapoli get the money with Vino Rosso. And Vinny, at the very least, going for back-to-back Kentucky Derbies now.
It's amazing. Vinny had a great day because also in the Carter, they won that one as well. So Vinny had a great day. And it's so great to see these New York owners succeed. And with Mike and Vinny combined together, it was fantastic. And, you know, one of the great things about horse racing when you're here at the track is you can see these horses come on strong. Another thing I enjoy is to see people celebrate. And nobody knows how to party better than Mike Rapoli and his crowd. But when you add Vinny and his crowd, it is quite a celebration.
I can't even imagine the champagne bill from last Saturday.
We were here a long time, but we enjoyed every moment of it.
Was there any Vino Rosso being passed around at about 7:30 on Saturday night here at the Big A, or is that a no comment?
That's a no comment.
That's a big no comment. I've run into you in Novi plenty that I'm pretty sure I know the real answer to that question. Yeah. We'll wrap things up here. I live a mile. I know you probably don't know this. I live 1 mile from here. I've lived in the same house my whole life. Love it here at Aqueduct. But my favorite racetrack, and since Shea Stadium got knocked down 10 years ago, my favorite sports venue in the world is Belmont Park.
It's beautiful. It harkens back to a greater time of racing, if you will, when you could have 100,000 people every weekend. But we have it. What we've done is created areas where people can have a fantastic time no matter how many people are there. And we are expecting big crowds this spring. We have a number of special days, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and all of that. And, of course, we're going to have a great day on Derby Day, on Preakness Day, and then the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival should be superb. We'll be celebrating our 150th anniversary, our 150th Belmont Stakes that weekend.
Yeah, and I know that we kick things off on 2 weeks from
Friday.
2 weeks from yesterday, yep, April 27th. We go to Belmont Park, Derby the following weekend, and we have a pretty big weekend, race that has always affected, almost always has an impact on the test of the champion, the Peter Pan. Five stakes that weekend, highlighted by the Grade 1 Man of War on the turf. That's going to be a pretty big day as well this year, and that's a day that, like everything else at Belmont lately, has grown piece by piece the last few years.
It has, and I give a lot of credit to Martin Pans and all the team in the racing office. This is one of those things that Martin has done where he's really good at creating big days. And so, for example, Stars and Stripes is something he created, and it has grown year over year. In his first year here, we both wanted to create a big event for Belmont Stakes Day, which we did with a fantastic card in 2014. And in 2015, we went to the whole idea of a three-day event, the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. And each year, it gets better and stronger. So, for example, in 2017, last year, the handle for that Thursday and Friday was 30% greater than the preceding year. That tells me that the horse players in this country realize how great that racing is, not just on Saturday, but throughout the racing festival.
Yeah, I know as a fan, as a gambler, I remember I was I did Talking Horses with Andy to kick off the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival last year on Thursday. And just year to year, you see the cards on the Thursday and Friday just getting that much better. 18 stakes, millions upon millions of dollars being given out to the owners of these horses. I mean, the entire program is great. Those 3 days in particular, though, really highlight the epitome of what racing here in New York is.
Right. And now what Martin has done is created this Man of War Day, and it's going to be the same kind of special day. It's perfect in that it goes right between the Derby and the Preakness, when a period of time when a lot of people are paying a great deal of attention to horse racing, boom, we're going to have that big day. So we talk about Aqueduct. It was his idea to move the Cigar Mile back a week, which improved our field dramatically. We had a number of horses that were participating in the Breeders' Cup that were now able to participate in the Cigar Mile because we moved it that additional week back.
Well, it was five Breeders' Cup, I think, if I'm not mistaken, five Breeders' Cup horses came back, three wins, a second, and a third.
Right.
So, I mean, a great decision. That extra week plays a big role. And, you know, you get the extra week. When you're running the Peter Pan, you have the 4 weeks to the Belmont Stakes, and it builds and builds. Memorial Day weekend, always a big weekend. We have one of the three New York Bridge Showcase days now on Memorial Day. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I was looking for somebody's head when you moved the Met Mile on me from Memorial Day, but I love it now where it is on the Belmont Stakes Day. I love the New York Bred Days. I think it's great on Memorial Day weekend. And the other thing you've done, I feel like I'm part of the team, so I give you a wee every now and then, but the Breakfast at Belmont program has expanded as well, and mostly these big days, I should know this, I'm the host, these big days in the morning, we have the breakfast program, and it's a great way to bring in new fans and keep them around for the best racing in the world.
Exactly. And so the whole idea here, since we joined NYRA in 2013, is to enhance the guest experience. Don't treat people like a customer, treat them like a guest, and make sure they have a great time. And we do need desperately to create more generations of fans. And the way to do it is, for example, those breakfasts. People will come out with their kids, and that's fantastic. Then you have things like the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival, where people in their 20s and 30s come out and realize this is not your grandfather's horse racing. This is a fun event. This is a party. And now, going back to, for example, what we're doing with the Man of War, horse players realize that when we create these big events, they're worth watching, they're worth wagering on. That's why you see that 30% increase on Thursday and Friday of Belmont Stakes. That's why we're doing this now for Man of War, because we think your audience is going to want to make sure they're watching and they're wagering that day.
I'll tell you one thing you did this week. You made a lot of Naira Bets customers and a lot of the fans around here happy by bringing back that Naira Bets late pick five.
That's a great bet. You know, and I'll give a great deal of credit to Tony Alavato and Dave O'Rourke, because I had an idea of what I wanted to do to try to reward our Naira Bets customers. And it was a special idea, but it only was limited in the scope. Those two guys took it much further. And so every day at Saratoga we had it. We had it on various days at Belmont in the fall. We brought it back. And I think it's one of the best things in the world, because we combine our great racing with the great service we have through Naira Bets, with our great fans and horse players who wager on Naira Bets, and everybody wins. Everybody gets rewarded.
Yeah. We're talking with Naira President and CEO Chris Kay. People literally, like, I won't say they were rejoicing in the streets, but those pick fives, that Naira Bets late pick five, a very popular bet around here. Of course, it was launched at Saratoga. I'm not going to have you here and not talk to you about Saratoga a little bit, because as much as I love Belmont, this, you know, time lately seems to be just disappearing into midair. And before you know it, we'll be heading up the thruway and heading over to our version of Big Red.
Right. But, you know, before we get there, I'm very proud of what we did to launch this new bet, the late pick five for Naira Bets customers. But this year at Belmont, we're going to have a new bet that's very special. To celebrate our 150th running of the Belmont Stakes, one lucky fan or horse player is going to be able to win $150,000. So here's how it works. In one sense, it's like a sweepstake. If you buy a ticket to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival, you get an entry into the sweepstake. If you wager on Naira Bets, you get five tickets, if you will, into the sweepstake. There are other ways to enter. You can contact Naira.com and scroll down and you'll get the rules. But that's how this group is going to be, this pool will be created. Primarily people who wager and people who buy tickets. And then one of them is going to be selected. And that person is going to have all expense paid airfare, going to be put up in a hotel for several days, will be invited to all of our events, including as a VIP. And then a couple hours before the race, all eyes across the country, because this is being televised nationally, will know who that person is picking to win the Belmont Stakes. And if that horse wins, then it's a life-changing event.
Absolutely.
That person gets $150,000. And if that horse doesn't win, they had a great 5 days in New York.
True. Any 5 days in New York are great 5 days, but with that $150,000 up for grabs, yeah. So you get your tickets for the Belmont Stakes at belmontstakes.com.
Yes.
You can get your entries placing wagers through NairaBets.com.
Correct.
Right. You get the app for the smartphone, for the cell phone.
Right.
Some people still have flip phones. They can't get it. We've got to get your cell phone. We've got to get your smartphone.
Then you can go to Naira.com and scroll down. There are other ways to enter, like any other sweepstake.
And then we go to Saratoga.
And we're going to have some new things for you this year at Saratoga.
The stretch.
There are two very important things we're doing. The first is the stretch. So we've taken the very end of the grandstand at the top of the stretch, and we've taken five different sections that were not typically used on a daily basis very often, and we've created a whole series of what we call social boxes. These are the whole area is open, so you can see from your box to the next box and who's around. It is actually a restricted access area, and so once you buy a ticket to be in the stretch, you're now going to be in an area that has its own dedicated bathrooms, its own dedicated bar. It's a huge bar with a big video board above it, and its own dedicated kitchen. So we have a whole new kitchen to provide a variety of entries. Then we have five different seating areas. It's, in essence, you can have one of three different boxes. One of the boxes is a series of couches or banquettes. One of the boxes is a half-moon table with four chairs at the table. And then when you're finished eating, you can go down two steps to four seats to watch your race. And the third is a collection of three of those half-moon tables, seating four at each one. Then there's also seats at the bar, dedicated seats at the bar, and we also have about 200 seats at the rail, so to speak, for premium seating. And so you can enjoy it with just you and your buddy in a couple of those seats at the bar or a couple of those seats down at the rail. Or you can be watching it from any one of these boxes. And the response has been phenomenal. When we started this process, we talked to some consultants who said, look, if you're going to offer this on a season ticket basis, make sure you hold a few of those boxes for people on a daily basis. That way it gives everybody a chance to enjoy it. And so we have. We've held roughly 10 to 15% of those boxes for daily use. Every other box has been sold out. In about 3 weeks,
wow,
every box was sold out. We still have some individual seats, those 200 seats at the rail. And by the way, when you're at the rail, you come up, you enjoy everything else. And we still have some dining room tables.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's all gone. And the two other things I want to mention about this are, number one, this is a place to have relaxed fun. Whereas in the clubhouse section at Saratoga, the attire is coat and tie. There is no such dress code at this end of the building. And the second thing is that this end of the building has got great technology. Part of the idea here is to go after those younger generations.
Sure.
And they don't want to wear a coat and tie, but they want to be connected. And so what we've done is created these wonderful 15-inch tablets for every two seats. You know, so if you're sitting out front and you're in those premium seats, for every two seats, there's a tablet. If you're at one of those tables of four, there are two tablets. And you can use those tablets the way you used your phone last year for Naira XP. You can watch the races in real time. We got a great new device to make it real time. You can go wager on Naira bets. You can order all your food in this section from this tablet. If you want to watch an old movie, you can pull it up. As well as, at the end of the day, you can use it to get your parking with Uber or to go to the valet. Just about anything you want to do, you'll be able to do on those 15-inch tablets. So we're very excited about what it means, not only in terms of a new amenity, but the kind of people that are expressing interest in it, because we want to have those younger generations come to the racetrack and fall in love with our sport.
Well, we got plenty of time before we get there. It will be there before we know it. Lots of good stuff happening at Saratoga. Belmont Stakes Racing Festival tickets are on sale. Go to Naira.com, BelmontStakes.com, June 7th through 9th, the 150th Test of the Champion. Can't wait. 2 weeks till Belmont. Lots of good stuff happening here at Naira. Chris, thanks for some time today.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, now thanks to Chris Kay for taking the time to sit down with Anthony yesterday. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back and visit with Vinny Viola to talk about that big win in the Wood Memorial and heading back to the Kentucky Derby again this year. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Fans, make plans now to join us for the biggest derby party west of Kentucky on Kentucky Derby Day, Saturday, May 5th. Can Justify validate his big win in the Santa Anita Derby and take the run for the roses in only his fourth career start? Be here at Santa Anita for all the fun and excitement. Visit SantaAnita.com for more information. Spring has sprung, and we've got early first post time each Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Admission gates open at 10. First post time today is at 12 noon. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
It's Snapper St. Clair game. He's reaching for the line. It's Snapper St. Clair to do it.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
With the Arkansas Derby coming up later this afternoon, we thought it would be nice to take a look back on that impressive win in 2014 by Danza. That stellar performance by the son of Darley Stallion Street Boss makes Danza your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Boss, the fastest son of the Great Street Cry. Only Tappet and Curlin can top Street Boss's three Grade 1 winning three-year-olds on dirt in the past 5 years. Along with Danza, the list includes Kentucky Oaks winner Catherine Sophia and King's Bishop hero Kappa Bastone. To learn more about Street Boss and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they're going to go right on by as they come to the top of the stretch. Enticed and Vino Rosso turn for home together in the Wood Memorial. It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed battles him on the inside, and he's coming back with a furlong to run. Oh, what a wood this is! It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle him, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso, Fantastico in the Wood Memorial. He won it by three over Enticed, and then it was Restoring Hope and Firenze Fire in a final time of 1 minute 49.79 seconds.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Wood Memorial last weekend. Vino Rosso, Fantastico. Tremendous effort that afternoon. He is on his way to the Kentucky Derby, as are we here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Should be an amazing week. Our coverage begins May 1st and takes you all the way through the 144th Run for the Roses. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, special guest co-host Mark Otto, sitting in for Jude, who is out of town this weekend. Vino Rosso, owned by Rapoli Stable and Vinny Viola's St. Elias Stable. And Vinny was on quite a ride last year, and it ended with a victory beneath the Twin Spires with Always Dreaming. And I guess you could say the dream is continuing for Vinny as he makes his way back there with Vino Rosso. Vinny, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, Vinny, great to have you.
Do you just kind of pinch yourself, Vinny, and say, is this happening again?
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly. It's an embarrassment of good fortune, but only because we all know how difficult it is to get a horse to this point in his racing career, in their racing career. So the answer is a humble yes.
Yeah, I talked about that earlier in the week, that, you know, just to get a horse to the races is an accomplishment. And for people that have not been in this game, it's hard to understand that. But just to get a horse to the races is something special. To win a race, doesn't matter what kind of race it is even more special. And then to be in the position you're in, where you're going back to the Kentucky Derby 2 years in a row, there are a lot of outstanding owners in this business who haven't had that opportunity, Vinny, and here you are with that chance again this year.
Yeah, I'm extremely lucky, but before I can even really attest to just being very, simply very lucky, and I've been extremely lucky my whole life, so much goes to the people on our extended team. You know, Mike and I, just a little bit of background on this horse and a little bit of background on my reentry into horse ownership. You know, I called three people when I decided to get back into horse racing after I exited my involvement with the then New Jersey Nets. I called Mike Rapoli, Anthony Bonomo, and Terry Finley. And what we all have in common, Mike, Anthony, myself, and Terry. Terry uses Jimmy for different purposes, but we all have in common Jimmy Krupe. He's our bloodstock agent. So for Mike and myself, Jimmy so either primarily selects or approves every horse we buy. In this case, Vino Rosso, he primarily selected him, and Mike and I both thought he was special. He is special. So real thanks goes to Jimmy Krupe. You know, luck is driven by hard work. We all know that. Jimmy Krupe, Todd Pletcher and his team. And, of course, we always try to use Johnny Velasquez on our horses. And really being blessed with a phenomenal support system, each of those organizations. And quite frankly, we all get along and enjoy the sport very, very much. So anyway, here I am again with this magnificent horse, who, by the way, is one of the coolest horses I've ever been around.
How come?
He is the, I mean, I'll tell you, he is, his disposition and his mental approach to the sport is really unlike any horse I've seen. In fact, Todd, myself, and Mike, I'll kind of take you guys back to the story of when he was being broken on Jimmy's farm. Jimmy said to me out of the blue one day, he said, you know, this horse has enormous amounts of talent, but we have to get it out of him. He's like, you know, and Jimmy, on a couple of occasions, more than one, and I don't know how many times, would actually train the horse twice in a day, take him out real early, let him simmer down, and then in the afternoon, again, put him to task just to get him physically excited about racing. Mentally, the horse is unparalleled in his just coolness. I don't know if you guys have seen him in the paddock. He just goes about his business. And I describe him like the really, really great young athlete. You know, you have a lot of these kids, you know, when they're very, very young, they're very specially gifted. But you always wonder or not if whether their mental desire and mental maturity is going to catch up to their physical gifts. And Todd, throughout Vino Rosso's career, from when he first got him, had said, when this comes together, boy, we're going to have something extraordinary. And Mike and I kept saying to each other before the wood, well, maybe this will be the race that comes together. And it really, really, really did. It really did. So anyway, that's why I was saying he's just a super cool horse who is coming into the race, quite frankly, you know, I don't use at the perfect time for him. He's really coming into the Derby at the perfect time in his development as a racehorse. So we're really excited about his performance. In contrast to last year with Always Dreaming, when Anthony and I, we couldn't say it, but we felt like we had absolutely one of the top horses in the race. And if he didn't win, we'd be greatly disappointed. This year, we're sitting here saying, oh, my gosh, if this guy keeps putting it together, it could be a real special race. So that's why he's a really, really cool and special horse.
You know, Vinny, you touched on something, this Mark, and I've noticed this before in working with old friends and some of the other things I do outside of Red Brand. You know, Vino seems really, really intelligent, and you touched on that too. You can kind of tell by the way he carries himself and the way he looks. And one of the things I notice is every time he goes across the finish line, he's got his ears up and forward. And one of the things I've noticed is there's an absolute connection between the intellect and disposition and how much they earn.
You are so spot on about this horse. watches races. You know, he crosses the line, his ears are up, they're forward. He's like, all right, this is cool, I'm done. I mean, this is a super, super smart horse.
Very relaxed. John Secor-
yeah, very relaxed. John Secora and I were talking yesterday on a separate subject, and he was talking about Curlin. And what Curlin gives to some of his sons is just this indestructible sense of themselves. And if you look at, well, we know there are, you know, a bounty of sons of Curlin and coming, getting ready to run in this race for the roses. But if you look at these horses, they have in various ranges, they have that sort of quiet confidence, indestructibility about themselves. But what Vino Rosso has, which just amazes me, he has a self-awareness like I've seen with very, very few other horses that translates into an intelligence. You have to use that word, self-awareness and intelligence. He knows the race is over, and it's almost, if you watch his gallop outs too, it's not him showing off. It's just him kind of being in his natural display of his athletic ability. His horse has enormous, enormous athletic ability.
Talking with owner Vinny Viola here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Vinny, put me there with you last Saturday. Take me through watching the stretch run and then having to survive that inquiry afterwards. What was going through your mind there? Put me there with you.
Okay, so where we were watching it, right inside of the paddock area, right upstairs from the paddock area, when I saw the horse starting to move very comfortably about 3-4 wide as they were approaching the top of the stretch, in my mind, I said, he's put it together. We're going to win this race, in my mind. I have to say I was a little bit, because he was showing that sort of that athletic focus that we've been waiting for. From my vantage point, I couldn't, from the head on, you can see both horses bumping. But so let me give you my take on it. So anyway, watching the race, I couldn't see that. I just saw what seemed to me like Vino Rosso accelerating and moving at a faster pace than Enticed, and Vino Rosso kind of beating Enticed to the sort of stretch run and passing him, Enticed rallying back like I knew we all know good horses do, and then Vino Rosso again another sort of experience growth, going, okay, you want to run with me, well let's go, and then extending the lead. So I didn't see what I saw head on, but if you look at the head on, you'll see what's very, and what I think the stewards, what drew the stewards to conclude no change in order, was Entice actually moves out towards Vino Rosso at the very top of the stretch, because Vino Rosso comes so quickly down upon him. It almost, if you really, you know how these horses move towards each other almost out of instinct. And so the first actual touch is from Entice to Vino Rosso at the very head, and then they engaged in what was a magnificent stretch run and race riding. So what was I thinking? I was thinking, I am just so happy for this horse, and it's just elation. And of course, my wife Teresa is as big a fan of the sport and as devoted an owner as me, and she just went just. She was so happy, and you know what it's like when you win a race, and that feeling of connection to the horse is indescribable. So when I went down to the circle and Mike said, "There's an inquiry." The first thing he said to me, "There's an inquiry." Johnny went to talk to the stewards. My first reaction was, "I didn't see it." Anyway, that was kind of a little bit of the capture, he was right in front of me when he kind of extended his lead. He was moving so magnificently, And what Mark, the point that Mark made, we all kind of noted is the way his ears just pricked up, went forward. And again, the one other thing about this horse is he can clock 12s all day long. He came into the circle, and again, I don't want to sound overconfident. He came into the circle like he really hadn't run.
What are we doing next?
Yeah, what are we doing next? So it's such an efficient, pleasant horse, and we decided to fly him down to Palm Meadows, Todd's facility down here, and he's here, and actually, I'm going to head out this afternoon to stop in on him, but he's doing great. So anyway, that's a very long answer, guys, but that's kind of as detailed as I could remember it. And of course, there's a picture going out and around now of myself, Todd, Mike, and Johnny V waiting for the stewards' decision. It's really quite funny. We've gotten razzed about it a bunch, and so that's that. And just as background, again, I know I'm speaking too much. I'm just very excited. The Wood, growing up, you know, Aqueduct was our local track. Obviously, Mike Rapoli and Anthony always talk about that. But the Wood was our favorite race, you know. I mean, it was just something larger than life. And I've attended many Wood Memorials as a fan. And probably the one that sticks out in my mind was the upset of Secretariat in 73. And just to win the Wood Memorial, and I don't know if you guys realize, but members of the Wood family still attend the race and honor the race and the memory of their forebears. So it's a magnificent tradition.
Yeah, it's a great tradition, as is the Kentucky Derby. And now, Vinny, you have had a year to kind of digest winning the Kentucky Derby with Always Dreaming. Can you put into words, and I know you've probably been asked this a million times, but can you put into words what it's like to be sitting there at Churchill Downs and to see your horse cross the finish line first?
It truly is. It's indescribable. But let me try it. The first thing you realize is that the feeling of happiness and joy and it's exhilarating. It's almost second to second you're thinking, did that just really happen? Yes, it did happen. I'm exhilarated. Is this what heaven feels like? And it's a loop of those sort of feelings. It's almost it's almost, quite frankly, as close to an out-of-body experience as I've ever had, because in the case of Always Dreaming, when he was storming down that stretch, you just, for me, owning a horse is becoming a family member to that horse. So it's the love that you feel for that athlete, or that connection you feel for that athlete, is what makes it very special for me. And the horses I own, of course, when you to win the Derby and the roar of the crowd, that's what I remember most. The roar of the crowd continues past the finish line, and it kind of almost carries you in a almost, not a confused state, but almost a numb state to the winner's circle. So I said this, I tried to say it as much as I can publicly. I would if I could, I would wish for every horse fan and horse race fan and every, as I refer to us, every $2 better for that, to have that feeling for just a moment of that feeling. And it's validation of everything we love about the sport.
Vinny, only a minute or two left before we have to get to another break, but I do want to ask you one final question. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but one final question before I let you go. You know, you've had so much success in all the other ventures you've been involved with, including the world of sports. Where does winning a Kentucky Derby rank for you in terms of all of the other things you've been able to accomplish in sports?
Oh, absolutely at the top. It's, you know, horse racing is, how do I say this? You know, you talk about favorite. Horse racing is an extremely special sport. And ownership in horse racing is unlike ownership in any other sport. It is truly, it has to be driven by a passion, and if not vocation, just by nature of simple numbers and probabilities. And the minute to 2 minutes that go on to a successful and many unsuccessful races, the pride and blessing and privilege of owning one of those horses and caring for one of those horses is unlike any other sport. So I would say at the very, very top.
There he is. He's Vinny Viola, and he is on his way to the Kentucky Derby looking for two in a row with Vino Rosso. And Vinny, appreciate the time. You're a class act. Keep it rolling, and we'll look forward to seeing you in Louisville, my friend.
Well, God bless you guys, and thank you very much, and a good, healthy Derby for all of our beautiful equine athletes.
Well, thanks,
thank
Vinny.
You guys.
Yeah, well
right.
said.
Bye-bye.
Great talking to you.
Viola, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're going to get to another break. Jeff Bloom is coming up next from California. He'll look back on that big win with Midnight Bisou last week in the Santa Anita Oaks as he gets ready to head to the Kentucky Oaks. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Fast, sir?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast, too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
It wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his
his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse Champion and Breeders' Cup Sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Here comes Midnight Bizu, mounting a mighty bit on the outside as she moves up within two lengths of the lead. Fool's Paradise faring best of the rest, 3/16 to go. And the leader is 13 squared, but not for long. Midnight Bizu claims her in a stride. Spectator is running a grand race. But 16th to go, and Midnight Bizu with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks. Handwritten, 3.5 clear of Spectator, 13 squared. Exuberance made marginal ground for fourth in front of Fool's Paradise.
The top filly of the meet and the top filly in the Road to the Kentucky Oaks point standings. That's Midnight Bizu, a powerful win in last weekend's Santa Anita Oaks. She races in the red and white colors of our good friend Jeff Bloom and Bloom Racing, who is with us now on HRRN. Jeff, boy, what a moment last week, and what a moment to be talking about Midnight Bizu being the number one points getter in the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, Mike. I have to keep reminding myself that that's the case. I was going to ask you how many hours and how many minutes till the run for the lilies. I've heard for the roses how many hours and minutes, but
well,
not the lilies.
I guess we just back it up one day, right? So 20 days, 8 hours, 43 minutes, and 24 seconds.
All right.
Don't be nervous.
Oh, no, there's not much time to wait.
Hey, well, let's talk about that performance last weekend. She was sensational. Mike Smith even used the name Zenyatta in the post-race quotes, which didn't compare her to Zenyatta, but he said that was a Zenyatta-like move.
Yeah, he's been saying all along how impressed he's been with her, both physically and mentally. This last performance, though, really had Mike talking that way about her being in that special rarefied air with some of the greats. In her short career here so far, she just seems to be getting so much better, and her level of acceleration, her turn of foot is just really hard to describe, and Mike's just clearly over the top excited, and of course we are all of us are too, in terms of just watching her performances. It's just been a spectacular run, to say the least.
Hey, Jeff, Mark here. Congratulations, by the way. The horse looks amazing, and we're excited to see her run again. The thing that Mike and I were talking about just for this is just kind of how accelerated this bloodline has become this year. How do you feel about that, being a Midnight Lute and having one of the horses that really has changed that sire's career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because I'm a huge fan of Midnight Lute, and actually had tried to pick up a few of his babies recently, so I'm not at all surprised. And you know, she's a filly that certainly acted, looked, and came across as one that really wanted to go the two turns. She's out of, you know, a pretty decent mare. And so it's not like it's a big surprise to us in any way, shape, or form. And it's kind of neat to see Midnight Lute get his due.
Jeff, when did you first know she was special?
You know, people, you know, ask that kind of question. And the reality is you hope that each horse you buy is that kind of horse. But she is one that was a little bit different than most in terms of just her presence and her way of carrying herself and the way she does now. She's always had that about her. And so we really had high expectations for her early, and all along, you know, it's like, well, geez, this might be my Del Mar debutante filly. And you know, Bill Spahr was very patient with her, and going into her first start, we really were expecting big things, and you never know until they get out there and they're competing against other horses. But we saw her do some things in a number of her workouts where things didn't really go her way, horses cutting in front of her. And the way she would just drop down to the inside, the way she would just take off after other horses, gave us that indication that she was something special. And then, of course, after that first start, we felt like, wow, we're going to have some fun here.
You know, you were hoping to make the walk over for the Kentucky Derby, and you will, but you're going to be doing that as part of our coverage here on the network. Snapper Sinclair was pointed for the Derby, didn't quite get there, but now you're going to make that walk over for the Kentucky Oaks with Midnight Bisou. Do you even allow yourself to think that far ahead and what that moment's going to be like?
I actually do, because, having had the opportunity to do the walkover, working for our team and being on the other side, I really do. I pinch myself thinking that this is, one of the greatest thrills in all of sports, to be able to have that opportunity, that experience. And so I'm beyond excited and appreciative of the fact that it's really getting close to happening. There really isn't a minute that goes by where I'm not thinking in some way, shape, or form about what's coming up here.
One of the real sharp guys in the sport today, Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing, Midnight Bisou making her way to the Kentucky Oaks. Jeff, really appreciate the visit. Sorry we had to cut it short this morning. Look forward to seeing you here in a couple of weeks in Louisville, my friend.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Best of luck, Jeff.
Yeah, really on a roll, too. What a tremendous year it's been for Bloom Racing. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
The Kentucky Equine Humane Center heals horses of all ages and retrains them to be ready for adoption into a new life. Please support their work by coming out to the Crawfish Boil, presented by Chrysler of Lawrenceburg, held on April 17th at Park Equine in Versailles. You can buy a $35 ticket at kyehc.org. Kentucky Cajun Bob will get you 5 pounds of crawfish, but no tickets at the door, so get them ahead of time at kyehc.org. The horses thank you.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb has emerged as one of the nation's most promising young stallions. The leading freshman sale sire of weanlings, yearlings, and two-year-olds, his first runners are off to a fast start. His debut winners have dazzled on the track, scoring on both dirt and turf. In the sales ring, his yearlings continue to command top prices, including the $1 million co-sale topper at Saratoga. Outstanding value, outstanding results, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Power. And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
One final try from Hollywood Handsome. These two to the wire. Hollywood Handsome got it.
Performance.
It is all Monomoy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a two-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, an emphatic winner of the Grade 1 Ashland at Keeneland, and among the favorites for this year's Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. And Hollywood Handsome, a strong runner-up in the Grade 2 New Orleans handicap last out, and one of the favorites in the Grade 3 Ben Ally at Keeneland this afternoon. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Mark Otto, our thanks to our special guest for joining us this morning, Keeneland announcer Kurt Becker, Rodolphe Brise, who took the time to visit with Big A yesterday on Express Bet Radio, along with Chris Kay, who took the time to sit down with Anthony yesterday as well. Vinny Viola, yeah, fun interview with him, talking about Vino Rosso going to the Kentucky Derby, and our good friend Jeff Bloom talking about Midnight Bisou. Busy program, my friend.
Yeah, great day.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
We're back this afternoon.
Appreciate having us.
5:30 Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer have the coverage of the Lexington Stakes, and Coolmore Jenny Wiley from Keeneland. That coverage 5:30 Eastern on the network, Sirius XM 93, and of course worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. What do you think? Who wins the Arkansas Derby? Who are you going with?
I don't know. I think that that's going to be a little tricky. It could go a lot of ways. I mean, you have to take a look at Magnum Moon. You can't rule them out, but there's at least three other ones.
Still some tickets left to be punched later this afternoon. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. For Mark Otto, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you later on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go Steelers!